by which anjasa quickly, ratihi attachment with love and affection. Translation. Well, I'm going to read 30 and 31 because they're connected. And then I'll read it all together. Text 30. Guru Shushrushaya Bhaktya Sarva Labdharpane Nacha Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam Ishvara Radhane Nacha Shraddhaya Tat Kathayamcha Kirtaner Gunakarmanam Tat Padam Buruhu Dhyanat Tat Lingesh Lingekshanard Arhana Dibihi. Okay, so translation. Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one that personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. Beautiful verse, huh? Purport. Among the linking processes that elevate one from bondage to material contamination, the one recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be accepted as the best. That process is clearly explained in the Bhagavad Gita, as where the Lord says, Sarvadharmand parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This process is the best because the Lord assures Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhya Moksha Ishyami Ma Shuchaha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. There is no need to be worried, for the Lord Himself assures that He will take care for His devotee and save him from the reactions of sinful activities. It doesn't mean go ahead and do whatever sinful, Krishna will take care. Material bondage is a result of sinful activity. Therefore, since the Lord assures that He will dissipate the results of fruitive material activities, there is no need to be worried. This process of understanding one's position as a spirit soul and then engaging himself in devotional service is therefore the best. The entire Vedic program is based on this principle, and one can understand it as recommended in the Vedas. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau tasyete katita hi arthan prakashante mahatmanah. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Shweta Shvatara Upanishad 6:23. One must accept the pure devotee, the representative of God, as one's guru, and then offer him all the respects one would offer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the secret of success. For one who adopts this method, perfect process is revealed. In this verse, the words Yair Anjasa Ratihi indicate that by offering service and surrendering to the spiritual master, one is elevated to devotional service. And by performing devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this attachment to the Lord, one can understand the Lord. In other words, one can understand what the Lord's position is, what our position is, and what our relationship is. All this can be understood very easily by the simple method of Bhakti Yoga. As soon as one is situated on the platform of Bhakti Yoga, the root cause of one's suffering and material bondage is destroyed. This is clearly explained in the next verse, which gives the secret of success. Secret of success. Text 30 and 31. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master. And in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru. Purport. In the previous verse, it has been said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best of the many thousands of ways to become free from the entanglement of material existence. It is also said, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Actually, the truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. Nonetheless, it can be understood very easily if one actually adopts the principles of religion. As it is said, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The process of religion is enunciated by the Supreme Lord because He is the Supreme Authority. This is also indicated in the previous verse by the words bhagavato ditaha. The injunctions or directions of the Lord are infallible and their benefits are fully assured. According to His directions, which are explained in this verse, the perfect form of religion is Bhakti Yoga. To practice Bhakti Yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, advises, Guru Padashrayastasmat Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam Vishrambhena Guru Seva Sadhu Vartmanu Vartmanam Sad Dharma Pritcha Bhogadi Tyaga Krishnasya Hetave. One's first duty is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about eternal religion, Sanatan Dharma. The words Guru Shushushaya mean that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping, eating and so on. This is called Guru Shushushanam. A disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. Praner Arter Dhya Vacha. Everyone has his life, his wealth, his intelligence and his words, and all of them should be offered to the spiritual, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the via medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called arpana. Moreover, one should live among devotees, saintly persons, to learn the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior, sadhava sadacharaha. Unless one adheres to the standard behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. Therefore, a Vaishnava, a sadhu, must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into the Vaishnava cult, should be offered the respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So these three verses, they are the heart of Prahlad Maharaj's learning from Narada Muni while he was in the womb of his mother, Kayadu. The heart is the main organ that keeps all other organs alive. Similarly, these instructions right here, they give life to all other instructions that Prahlad Maharaj is sharing with his friends. And that is the very first thing he says, Tatra Paya Sahasranam. In the previous verses, he's been talking about the distinction of the soul from matter. He's been talking about how matter goes through its transformations, but the soul remains in its place as the steady entity. And then he says that there are many ways by which one can free the soul from its body. So then the question would be, which process? Can I take anyone I like? And you hear, there is Buddhism, there is Mayavad, there is some other karma yoga type methodology, there is jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, etc., etc. There's so many varieties out there. They all talk about ultimate liberation or salvation of the soul. To which process? Is anything that sounds nice, it's attractive, or it doesn't promise any difficulties along the way, or what? So then he says, out of these thousands of ways that are there, I am Bhagavata Uditaha. This process that has been spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. That is the best process. The question would be, why? Why is this the best process? That which is spoken by the Personality of Godhead. He is the supreme authority, yes. Someone may say, well, I don't even believe in the authority. Or, yeah, okay, supreme authority. What else? He gives the highest goal. Very good. What else? What's the connection between this material energy and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Sorry? Is under His control. This is all created by Him. So He knows the secrets of how to get out of it. Anyone else is inside the material energy and may not know the exact secrets. But the one who's created the material energy knows exactly how to get rid of it. So because He's the supreme authority, because it is His energy, His method must be the most effective. So He says, I am Bhagavata Udita. And there is a symptom given in terms of effectiveness of a process. Right? We want to know, if I want to get out of this material energy, there has to be some symptom, some result by which I know it's working. Suppose a sick person is administered medicine. How do we know that the medicine is working? Two things have to happen. The symptoms of bad health should go away, and the symptoms of good health should come back. Right? My father was a doctor, and he practiced homeopathy for more than 40 years. And he would say, how do you know the state of perfect health? I would say the state of perfect health is when you are not particularly aware of each organ and part of the body in a day-to-day working of your life. Because as soon as there is bad health, whatever it is, you know, stomach pain or headache or a finger is cut or something, our whole attention is on that part of the body which we didn't even pay attention to, that it existed. How many of us are fully aware every day, I have a pinky toe, you know? Because it's in good health. But someone hammers it, or you hit it against the wall or a door, and now you're completely aware. I have a pinky toe, and that little thing can cause so much pain, right? So perfect state of health means everything is working in such a way that you're not aware of it. So he gives, not similarly, but he gives the symptom that a process is working when, he says, yatha yair anjasa ratihi, that one should develop some affection, an attachment, an attraction to Krishna, to Bhagavan. If that is happening, great. Yesterday I had lunch with one parent of a friend, and that parent has been studying Bhagavad Gita for 30, 35 years, knows it pretty much by heart. And this friend had said, please come speak with my father. And maybe, you know, let's see how, you know, maybe you can have some discussion on Bhagavad Gita and maybe you can express something to him. And I said, well, we cannot go into a conversation with an agenda, because it's not about what I would like him to know. It is at that moment what Krishna would like to reveal. So we have to depend on Krishna. So this person received me very nicely, a lot of proper, whatever, you know, nice place to sit, nice prasada. And as a matter of the conversation, who very learned and who kept saying, Krishna is my Ishtadev, that I have, he's my lovable personality. Ishtadev means the person that I like. And in about 10 minutes into the conversation, so Krishna just like an explosion, or like that aha moment, Krishna revealed that this person is actually very atheistic. So atheistic that there are certain things that the Bhagavad Gita cannot accept, is so inclined to believing in mechanistic science as science revealing truth, and then cannot accept the authority of Krishna. And it was like such a revealing moment, I tell you. It was like, wow, hidden behind all of this is the atheism. So whatever process that this man's been going through for so many years has not brought about rati, any attraction for Krishna. It is more conventional way of saying, oh, he's my Ishtadev. I mean, he's a very, very nice gentleman. Not that he's a bad person or anything. It's this that it gets hidden in such a way that it's difficult to discern unless they say, and then you hear, wow, behind the veneer is no attraction for Krishna. So that process, whatever one is working on for salvation or liberation, must bring attraction. Yatha yair anjasa ratihi. So it's a good litmus test for us. Every day we are waking up, chanting, hearing, serving in different ways, going out, talking to the public, trying to extend Krishna consciousness in whatever ways we are trying to do. At the end of the day, there's some, what we say, litmus test, some way that even if I have one degree of attraction for Krishna, then I know that I'm in the right direction. My attraction for Krishna has to manifest first as my attraction to the process of bhakti, to the devotees in bhakti, to thy service in bhakti, to the spiritual master who gave me life. And finally, all of this will culminate as attraction to Krishna. I mean, they're all not non-different. They are the same. And in progression, one will develop one's attraction, name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. Now that attraction starts in an immature sort of way. Immature means we like certain things. I like some pastimes of Krishna. I really like them. I really like such and such aspect of devotional service. Now that may not be necessarily the full test of it, which is very nice if we like something, that's great. But the maturity of that liking is when, even when I don't like, I continue doing that. Because here Prabhupada's talking as a matter of duty. It's also that when I don't like something, I'm still doing it because my attraction is not for that thing or that service or that particular event, but it's the attraction to Guru and Krishna. So that which takes us beyond I like and I don't like, because I'll do what I like, tomorrow if I don't like it, I'll drop it. That's not love. That's not attraction. Although I'll do what I like, tomorrow if I don't like it, I still do. That's the maturing of it. Therefore, and the ultimate maturity of it is given in Sikshashtaka, right? 8th verse. My dear Krishna, if you give me an embrace of love, fantastic. If you crush me and make me broken-hearted and completely leave me aside, neglect me, that is also okay because you're my lovable Lord. No conditions. Absolutely no conditions. I like, I don't like. No condition at all. So we're trying to work towards that. We may not have it now, but we're trying to work towards that by at least appreciating, oh, I know what I need to work on. Right? I have certain blocks that as soon as that blockage comes in, I'm like, hey, this is not for me. So that's the rati. Rati means attraction. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, the development of this attraction is given a little bit more, granularity or more definition of it. Here, rati means attraction. In that verse given by Lord Kapila, he breaks it down to stages. He calls it Shraddha, Rati, and Bhakti. It has more definition. That our initial attraction to Krishna manifests as some faith. And that some faith is, you know, we are young devotees. Let's say we go back to our family or friends and they think, what? You became a Hare Krishna? You must be kidding me. Are you crazy? Whatever. And then they heckle us, they tease us, they preach against it for us. But we say, it's all right. I like this. This is what I'm doing. Or I'm convinced. I've read Prabhupada's books. Whatever. We don't necessarily give it up so easily. So that initial thing is called faith. That there is, we are not deviated from it per se. The next stage is called rati. That not only am I convinced intellectually, my heart is invested into the process. I actually begin liking the deities, liking the process, liking the devotees, liking what I'm doing. It's not intellectually, yes, that this is the right process because someone convinced me. I like it. It's called rati. Of course, it's a broad category. And then it's called bhakti. Bhakti is that now I have loving feelings for Krishna. I have loving feelings towards my service to Guru and my Guru. Loving feelings, which means that my mind is now started filling with thoughts about Guru and Krishna. And I choose in my life, in my day, my activities according to those thoughts of love. Where my choice, what I like, has a lower precedence versus what Krishna would like. This is bhakti, or the beginnings of bhakti, if you will. I like something, but I know that Krishna may not like it, so I don't do it or say it or whatever. I don't like something, but I know Krishna would like me to, so I do it anyway. So my own, what I call choice, I evaluate it in relation to what would be Guru and Krishna's choice. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who spent significant time with Srila Prabhupada developing the Juhu temple project. Just a little background. You've heard of Giriraj Maharaj? How many of you have heard the name? Okay, that's good. So he came from Glencoe, Illinois, which is right here, a little north of here, from a very, very, very rich family. He described once, it seems, that the size of our brahmachari room up there, on the third floor, the ashram room, that was the size of his sister's shoe closet. She had so many pairs of shoes. Very rich. And when he met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada took him to India and told him, you stay here and develop this project for Radha Ras Bihari in Juhu. Now when you look at the Juhu temple, your head will spin, because it is such an opulent temple that you cannot believe. Everything is marble. The whole place, massive, massive. Govinda restaurant, for example, they have more than 3,000 people having lunch and dinner every day. This is just one thing, but what they've done is just a massive, massive project. But it did not start like that. It started when Prabhupada said, we should build a temple in Juhu. That's the place in Mumbai. Now, Juhu is like Sunset Boulevard or Hollywood for the LA area. Like all the movie stars live there. It's like the most opulent place. But when Prabhupada had identified Juhu, it was an unknown, completely obscure place in Mumbai where there was nothing but marsh, mosquitoes and rats. And Prabhupada said, this is where we should have a temple. And everyone's like, Prabhupada, that's not even in the city. That is somewhere. It's in the marsh. And Prabhupada said, no, this is the place. This will become very famous. And the devotees were like, wow, how is Prabhupada seeing something is going to become famous? But anyway, Prabhupada is saying, so we have to do it. So Prabhupada, there's a whole history of that land. I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, invited Radha Ras Bihari deities. There was no temple. They had put together sheets of tin and a shack pretty much. Okay, two sheets of tin here and a tin sheet on the top. Prabhupada invited the deities and he told them, please stay here while I build a temple for you. And Prabhupada would travel. He told them, do all the things necessary for building the temple. So they would sleep, lie down on a little straw mat in that marsh. And every night they would have rats running over them, mosquitoes biting them. But they stayed. Giriraj Maharaj said, we stayed because Prabhupada said, do this. So you see here I hope you're getting the connection between the verse. So he said, do it, and we stayed there. So Giriraj Maharaj's father came to visit him. And he saw his son, who had contracted malaria because of the mosquitoes in Mumbai, and the water is really not hygienic. And he had contracted malaria, he had lost a lot of weight, and he was in this, half a dhoti like that, in his flip-flops, in the Juhu project. Giriraj Maharaj's father literally started crying. What is this? You were a prince. You grew up so opulently. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Drop it. So he went to Prabhupada and told, please let my son go. I will give you a blank check. I'll sign it. You can fill any amount you want in it as the price for letting my son go. And Prabhupada said, I don't need your blank check. Your son is free to go if he wants to go. And he called him and said, Giriraj, if you want to go, you're free to go. I don't need any money in exchange. And Giriraj said, no, no, Prabhupada, I will not go. I will not go. Because who you are for me, the relationship I have with you, is far more valuable than any amount of money or anything anyone can do for me. I'm here, Prabhupada, for you. That's the relationship. Oh, that's just one example. There are so many disciples of Prabhupada. Each of them is very, very glorious for having stuck in for 40 plus years. It's not a joke. It's not a joke at all. To stay put, despite all sorts of problems, to stay put, that's in the relationship. That's great. So he was saying, so now that you have this context, he was saying that when he was a young devotee, whenever he had to make a choice, a decision, right? We all have this decision making. Should I do this or should I do this? Should I do this or should I do this? This is everyday thing for us. And he said, when I was young, I would choose according to what I liked. I like to do this, so I did it. He said, when I grew up a little bit more and I was given certain responsibilities, and I was a little bit more, mature, then I would think about what activity to do when two were clashing and I had to do both. Which one should I do? I would consider, what to do? And he said, I started developing and understanding this idea that it's not what I would like to do, but what would be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. I would decide according to that. This would be pleasing to Prabhupada, I would do this. Now, for him to come to what would be pleasing to Prabhupada meant that he had a relationship with Prabhupada. So he knew the inner core, or he knew what Prabhupada really liked. Without a relationship, you can't just guess. It's not a guessing game. If I stand here and say, what would Krishna like me to do? I don't think I would have an answer. Because I don't know. But if I were to stand here and say, what would my spiritual master be pleased with? I think I have a better sense of it. And I have that faith because what my spiritual master would want me to do and what is Krishna's desire are non-different. That's my faith that carries me through. So that's the, I guess, secret of success as being spoken in these three verses. He gives this phrase, secret of success. So the secret of success is that our life is guided by the desire of Guru and Krishna. So it becomes our life's mission to understand the desire of our Guru. Our Paramaguru and our particular Guru who's guiding us. Very, very critical. That's the secret of success. As I said, it's the heart that gives life to all other organs. Everything else we're doing is pivoted on this heart. That I should be guided by the desire of my Guru. And that's the instruction Prahlad Maharaj is giving. Guru Shushushaya Bhaktya. Shushushaya means service with faith. And he says, bhaktya, with love. So anything we do for the Guru, it shouldn't be done with, why is he asking me to do? We should be done with love and faith. And the love and faith will only come, even if we are asked to do something we don't like, or is not our nature, or whatever it is, comes when we have, at the core of everything, this understanding that this is my welfare. Someone is very lovingly helping me through. Because my vision of things is very limited. And within that limit, I feel totally justified that this is right. I want to do something. Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master, may say, do something else. Oh, this is my welfare. It doesn't mean there's no conversation, because there's a whole idea of this is there should be inquiry, there should be discussion, there should be back and forth. That's totally fine. But the core is that for my welfare. This is my hita. Hita means my benefit lies in that person's heart. Because in my own heart, I am not sure if my ultimate welfare is there. I think it's there. But my heart is colored by the modes of nature. So what I think is my welfare may really not be my welfare. But someone else's heart, my guru's heart, is not moved by the modes of nature. My welfare is much more secure in their heart, and therefore I should follow. And says that the disciples or the devotees' consideration should always be to make the spiritual master's bodily comforts always the priority. So it's we've heard in the past, it stuck with me, that the disciples' consideration is always in making the spiritual master's body comfortable. And the spiritual master's consideration is always in relieving the soul of the disciple. The spiritual master doesn't say, okay, I'll make your body also comfortable, sleep nicely, eat nicely. His consideration is to relieve the soul. The consideration of the disciple is to give bodily comforts. Because in one sense, he is the representative of Krishna. There are many, many such pastimes, Some that stand out for me. In Sri Vaishnavas, there is Ramanujacharya. Once Govinda, he was asked to make the bed for Ramanujacharya. Nice straw, whatever was put on the floor. So he put all the straw, and however he made the bed, and then he was lying down on the bed. We don't lie down on the spiritual master's bed, no? But he was lying down. So Ramanujacharya said, Govinda, what's going on? It's not ordinary that the disciple would lie down on the spiritual master's bed. What is this? He said, no, I'm just checking to see if it's comfortable for you. Because his consideration was not, let me enjoy, it was, let me serve nicely. Of course, this is very high. We can't try everything like that. No? Or in the Ramayana, there is the pastime that Lord Ram comes to meet a very old lady by the name Shabari. And she collects a bowl of berries for him. Now we have heard that everything must be offered to Krishna first, bhoga. Anyway, anyone of us who cooks, we don't taste, or, you know, generally we don't taste. Or even when we look at it, we don't say, nice lunch, Krishna. You're such a lucky guy, you're eating all the fat. You're not supposed to have those thoughts. Then you're already enjoying it before Krishna enjoyed it. So this Shabari, when she wanted to offer these berries, she would bite into a berry and then give it to Lord Ram. So someone was a little confused, like, what's going on? And then they noticed that she would bite into another berry and discard it. Then she would bite into another and then pass it on. And her whole meditation was, I don't want to give a sour berry to Lord Ramachandra. Let him have the sweetest berries. There's love, etc., etc. There are many, many such pastimes. Prabhupada in this purports, the last point and then I'll open it, he talks about this sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja as the reason for following the methodology or the process given by Krishna, because there is Krishna's assurance. And to understand this verse is not easy. What does it mean, Sarva Dharman Parityaja? It is considered to be one of the most intricate, confidential secrets in the Bhagavad Gita. But what is clear is Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhya Moksha Ishyami Mashuchaha. The phrase Mashucha, don't worry, is very reassuring for all the devotees. The Krishna says, if you take shelter of me, after that don't worry. Don't worry at all. Your problem becomes my problem. Therefore, sometimes it is said that the devotee who surrenders to Krishna, he or she is joyful and Krishna becomes worrisome. Worrisome, like, okay, how do I take care of this guy? Because it's difficult for him. It's a loving expression. Now, Krishna starts worrying about the devotee. Earlier, we worry about ourselves. What will happen to me? What will I eat? Where will I stay? Where will I go? Who's going to? What's my future like? Krishna says, leave it to me. I'll take care of it. I'll worry about it. Don't worry. You don't worry at all. Ma shuchaha. There's nothing for you to worry. As long as I'm sheltered under Krishna. And if I say, no, I'll do it on my own, fine. But as long as we're sheltered under Krishna, there's nothing to worry. There's nothing to worry. We may have challenges. Krishna doesn't say, you won't have any challenges. He says, don't worry, you'll always feel protected. Always be protected. Always be sheltered by me. And therefore there's no worry. Much more to say, because this topic of relationship between spiritual master and disciple is one of my favorite topics. But there are nice points. So that in or under the direction of the spiritual master, one conducts one's devotional life. And therefore Rupa Goswami gives the very first instruction. Before anything else, Guru Padashraya. One should take shelter at the lotus feet of a guru. And do what? He says, Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam. Learn about Krishna. Take initiation. And he says, Guru Seva. Serve the spiritual master very, very carefully. These three are considered to be the prime instructions among all 64 Angas of Bhakti. I guess, as I said, it's the heart that gives life to all other organs. Okay, any questions, comments? You want to add something? Yeah, give Alex the mic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. So you explained that when we have love for our guru, so we do our duties because it pleases him. And here in the verse it said, that process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops.
Correct.
I mean, in this case, we don't have love for the Supreme, right? So I'm trying to understand how by doing our duties, love will come.
Okay. So let's analyze that. Good question. Our duties are given by Guru. And so, obedience is the first feature of love. And when one continues doing one's duty, because the consideration is, I'm being asked by my guru to do it, and therefore I'm doing it. And in that process, when you see that from that duty, something comes out of those, there's some result from it. That result, because all duties are directed towards Krishna, the result from it is happiness in the heart. Prasidatam, as you are called in Sanskrit. Prasidatam means satisfaction or happiness in the heart. So then that happiness gives me faith that next time I get an instruction, I know if I fulfill that, I become happy genuinely. I get realizations. So then I serve. Next time I get some duty, I follow it. Even if I'm not sure, like, really? But I know that there is something at the end of it. And that's how my happiness develops. That happiness then manifests as connection and relationship. If I don't feel happy with someone, I'm not inspired to be with them. Right? If you and I are having some interaction, and I come out of that interaction feeling happy, satisfied, inspired, then I want to. Otherwise, so that's how Krishna makes the connection. And then we're happy. Oh, by this, my spiritual master is opening the doorways by which I can become happy. So let me serve. And that by that, love develops. Actually, it says that obedience develops to sense of duty further, and that sense of duty develops into love. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. So just getting the understanding that by seeing that you get the good results after that, you kind of understand that that person loves you.
That's right.
So kind of naturally you start loving.
That is correct. And because that person love, sometimes their love can be in bitter medicine, chastisement or some correction or forcing us to doing something that we don't like to do. But we have enough, hopefully, we have enough in the background, in the backdrop, that we know that person loves me. And even if I don't like it now, I'll see the wisdom behind it. Maybe before I die, but there is wisdom in it. Whenever Krishna reveals that wisdom. Oh, Jordan. Oh, okay, go ahead. Acharyanishta, go ahead.
Thank you. My question is, how is the disciple actually delivered?
How is a disciple actually delivered?
Yeah, how is it that the disciple achieves Krishna prema,
right,
in context of this discussion?
There was this presentation a few months ago, and the question was raised, who delivers the jiva? Were you here for that one? And the answer is, Krishna delivers the jiva. It's Krishna who actually releases the living entity from material bondage. And the spiritual master plays the role of facilitating that release, because he's Krishna's representative. On behalf of Krishna, because when Krishna would speak, or let's say, we don't have the instruments to receive it necessarily. Even if we receive it, we can't discern that this is Krishna's message. Sometimes we say, Krishna's guiding me in the heart. And that may not always be true, in the sense we can't say exactly what is Krishna's message, because we have the filter of false ego and mind in between that may distort the message. Therefore, we need a clear message, or the clear medium. So the spiritual master is considered to be the clear medium where Krishna's voice can be heard, or Krishna's message can be heard, let's put it that way. And so Krishna facilitates the liberation of the jiva through the spiritual master. And therefore this process is called diksha. Diksha has many meanings. One of the meanings is to give the vision. Dadati ikshanam, that he gives the vision to see truth. Because what we are seeing now is relative truth or illusion, as we say. So the reality is distorted by false ego and the modes of nature. Another meaning of the word diksha is divyam jnanam for the di, and ksha means papasya kshayanam. So, divyam jnanam is the spiritual master brings shastra to life for us. Now, without spiritual master, although Shastra is there, it's not usable for us, or it's not useful for us. I'll explain why. And then Papasya Kshayanam is because the spiritual master engages us in the activities of bhakti, our, like you were explaining yesterday, our sinful tendencies are removed because ignorance is removed. So Divyam Jnanam and Papasya Kshayanam, they work together. By the potency of transcendental knowledge, ignorance is removed. And ignorance is removed by engagement in service because it gives practical application for that knowledge. Shastra is there for everyone. But what part of Shastra is applicable to us can only be administered by the spiritual master. Just as Prabhupada would say that in a medical store, everything is medicine. But only the pharmacist or the spiritual master can give medicine according to my disease. If I have diarrhea, but I like the name of the laxative, because it's in the medical store, it's going to make things worse for me. Yeah? Like that. So, although everything is Shastras full of instructions, the spiritual master tailors those instructions for me. Primarily, they extract the instructions of bhakti. So, that's how it's delivered. Now, that's the overall mechanism. Now, yesterday you read these verses from the second chapter of the first canto. The entire process of release of the soul is in those set of verses. Because he says, Krishna, who is the Surhrut, he is the one who starts removing the influence of the modes of nature. It is he who has put us in illusion, and it is he who removes that illusion. Nashta prayeshu, abhadreshu. But he only does that when he sees. I don't know where you started the section of verses. Do you start from Shunvatam Swakatha or the one previous? Okay. There is a progression in those verses. First he talks in that chapter. It's a fantastic chapter. My life actually transformed from that chapter. And because it's in a book called Dharma. I don't know if you've read the book. If you're not, I highly recommend. Prabhupada's lectures from that chapter are concisely put in this book called Dharma, The Way of Transcendence or something. So it starts where where Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. This is Suta Goswami speaking. That the prime duty, paradharma, of the soul is to engage in bhakti. That bhakti which is uninterrupted and materially unmotivated. Then he comes to anyone who performs bhakti, they automatically or as byproducts get knowledge and renunciation. And then he moves a few verses later and he says the way to get to engaging in bhakti is shushushaya shraddhanasya. That one should serve the spiritual master with faith and in a very menial sort of way, keeping other considerations aside. And he says there is an outcome from that. This verse has a parallel there. He says, Shushushaya Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. That he develops a taste for hearing about Krishna, because that's the person with whom he's going to develop a relationship. He says, Syan Mahats. So the greatest service rendered to the great personalities is when there is a taste to hear from them about Krishna. And that taste or that initial attraction, or however, now proceeds into Shunvatam Svakatha Krishna, Punyatirtha Nishevanat. That taste, then Krishna, from the heart, starts removing the influence of his Maya Shakti. And as he progresses, he goes on to all the different ways that Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, that his attraction for matter becomes less, or in fact almost completely destroyed. Prayeshu. And then he becomes powerful enough. Krishna makes the jiva powerful enough to take the knowledge that he has received from his guru to cut the knot in the heart. He says, Chidyante Hridaya Grantis. Vidyate Sarvasham. Vidyate Hridaya Grantis. Chidyante Sarvashamshaya. All his doubts are vanquished. Because Krishna is giving that transcendental knowledge that's very powerful. And Kshiyase Sarva Karmani. All his reactive, fruitive activities end. Drishta Eva Atmanishvare. He begins to see the soul as the most important and the master of activities and super soul as well, etc., etc. And then he moves on the progression of how Krishna now starts participating. All this while, in the heart of the conditioned entity, Krishna or the Paramatma is playing a very neutral role. Whatever is, you want to do that? Fine, here's the consequence for it. You want to do this? This is the consequence for it. I don't like you, I don't dislike you. You're totally, I'm neutral for you. But when he begins, the jiva begins to hear from Guru, Krishna says, now let me help you. And he actually interferes in someone's choice. If I want to make something, a foolish decision that is against my liberation, then Krishna interferes and says, are you sure you want to do this? This is not good. Etc. We hear either from scripture or from guru or from internal voice, one will learn, this may not be the best for me. Like that. That's the process of relieving. Now, process of relieving the soul and the development of bhakti happen together. As anarthas are reduced, the heart begins to proportionately fill with attraction to Krishna.
So one, towards the end you were mentioning kind of that then it's up to the disciple to receive that knowledge and then within his own heart to cut mm-hmm. that. So is that in that sense how the guru delivers the disciple by giving that transcendental knowledge upon which the disciple must actually assimilate that himself?
Yeah, the whole process happens, it's two-way. One is that the spiritual master should give or gives potent transcendental knowledge. We hear is the seed. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. And then the disciple has to take care of that seed. So there is giving and receiving. Both are necessary. I cannot receive the seed of bhakti anywhere. It has to be from a bona fide guru. And I have to receive it. Even if he gives it and I don't receive it, it won't sprout. Just as Prabhupada says that for conception to happen, the man needs to be potent and the woman needs to be fertile. Otherwise, conception will not happen.
And so ultimately the disciple has to achieve the platform of prema bhakti to actually go back to Godhead.
The disciple must be committed to wanting to free oneself from this material entanglement. Then Krishna helps. It's two-way. Krishna's helping, but I would also want it. Otherwise it won't work. Our process is, we say everything is Krishna's mercy, which is true. Our process is both mercy and, as they say in the Catholic, I think, works, effort from our side. Our effort is simply to express to Krishna that I want your mercy. It's the mercy that delivers. Ultimately, it's the mercy that delivers. But my effort is to show Krishna that I want that mercy. My effort are not sufficient. Enough. They're necessary, but not sufficient.
Right. Sorry for pressing this point.
No, go ahead.
But so that in one's own very lifetime, then they would require to receive the mercy of Krishna Prema in that life to actually go back to God.
But we have received. We have received Krishna Prema. There is no doubt in it.
I didn't get it.
Because when the spiritual master accepts and engages us in the process of bhakti, the seed of Krishna Prema is already given. Now that seed needs to develop into the lata. Lata means the creeper that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains goes all the way to the lotus feet of Krishna, and then the flower manifests, then the fruit manifests. But the first two leaves of that lata are Kleshagni and Shubhada, what you expressed yesterday. The two leaves are of that bhakti creeper only. It's not like somewhere along the way it changes to a different plant. You've heard this as well, that when you plant a tulsi seed and the first shoot comes out and two tiny leaves show up, is that tulsi or no? Yeah, no doubt, it is tulsi. It's not eggplant. And four more leaves come, another four more leaves come. You don't pluck manjaris until it starts showing manjaris. But the fact that the first two leaves are tulsi leaf means that it is a full tulsi. It just needs to mature. So for us, Krishna Prema has already been planted. We should allow it to mature. And the maturation of it comes through anartha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, and finally the manjaris. It's not different. Krishna prema is already planted. The seed's planted. We have to allow it to develop. So we may not, the very first two leaves may not give out the entire fruit. It's the same plant anyway. It will develop. It is love, no doubt, in its very raw, immature form.
My question is that the full form would have to be realized.
Sure.
In order for one to be successful.
Sure. And there is success all along the way. That's what Krishna says, Neha Bhikramanasya Asti. There's no failure per se. If one cannot complete it in this dress, one completes it in another dress. Pratyavayu na vidyate. Yeah, and our goal is, in this lifetime, I'd like to see it fully mature. Sure. Then the question is, am I doing all the things that I need to do? Yeah. So if I'm in the right track, it will manifest. It will manifest. Now, I cannot speed up, you know, the leaves. There is a particular way the plant grows. I can give it fertilizer. I can give it proper sunlight. Yes, and it'll grow healthy and fast. And now is the time when tulsi is going to get, at least in America, severely challenged. The weather is becoming colder. But springtime, you keep tulsi outside. You don't even have to pay attention. Blossoms like anything. Because the weather is right, everything's right. So yes, our goal is that in this lifetime, I would like to see it mature fully. And that's my investment every day, every moment. But I'm serious about it. I'm not slackening or lax about it or distracted or whatever. Yeah? The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes that in the process of sadhana bhakti, as we're watering the bhakti lata, we're also watering some weeds around it. So we actually see that with the lata growing, weeds are also growing. In fact, by our chanting process, we are watering the weeds. So he gives the analogy of a careful gardener who then removes all these weeds so they don't sap the bhakti lata. So it's careful, alert. The usual phrase used is alert or vigil in our bhakti process. Is that right? Jordan? I'm sorry I'm taking longer today because I'm leaving tomorrow and I won't see you guys for a month. So I'm elongating the punishment. So you'll remember me for 4 weeks. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna. So in serving the spiritual master, we also have to use our intelligence,
and yeah,
creativity and innovation.
We have to use our creativity and innovation in serving the spiritual master. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do we know if we're just going on our own like desires, or if we're actually using our creativity or intelligence, things like that?
For the very, very simple. I'm perhaps oversimplifying, but very simple. Here's the sutra. Always, always, always consult. Very simple. Just consult, and you get the answer. Always, always, always consult. Because the spiritual master's duty is not so much details of life, it's the principles. Sometimes details are taught at the very young age of Krishna consciousness, so the principles become solidified. After that, only principles are given. And there is full room for what we call individual initiative to manifest. But my initiative, whatever my creativity, I should hold against the light of the principles of bhakti that given by our founder Acharya and Guru. Because when I hold it against the light of the sun, things become clearer. And we ask the devotees next to us, what do you think? Make sense? Am I seeing it the right way? And they'll say, maybe. Have you thought of this? Have you thought of that? Oh, okay. And if you want to deepen this meditation, in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavatam, first canto, when Bhishma Dev is instructing, I think this is verse 23, 24, somewhere there. I could be wrong about the verse number. You know the context. Yudhishthir Maharaj is very despondent that for him to become the king, the consequence is that the entire family of cousins and friends and relatives and uncles and nephews have all been killed. And on his side, another side. His soldiers died. On that side, all his relatives died, except for Dhritarashtra, the blind uncle, and Vidura, because he never fought. Everyone else was dead. So he was feeling very, very morose. What is this? Just for me to be the king, so much amount of collateral damage? It's not worth it. So Krishna takes him to meet Bhishma Dev, who's lying down on a bed of arrows. And Bhishma Dev starts instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj. And in that one verse, he tells him, please do not be despondent. Because everything that you've done in your life has been on the basis of these three things. Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, Ashraya. You've lived your life according to Dharma, the principles of Dharma. You've always taken the guidance of Brahmins. And you've done it for the pleasure of Krishna. So don't worry. So that's our test. I may have all this creativity, but does the creativity violate or not religious principles, or the principles of bhakti? Have I done it in consultation with the devotees, the authorities? And is it for pleasure of Krishna? Fantastic instruction. Right? Anything else from your side? Yeah, Alex?
So it's very easy for me to accept that I might not necessarily know what is best for me and the necessity of having someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we develop that faith in that other person? you know, how do we just accept that, knowing, okay, this is a devotee? Do I just begin by trusting without any, like, how do we start that relationship?
In the first canto, first chapter, verse number 10, which is that famous Kali Yuga verse, that people in Kali Yuga are prayenalpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge jana manda sumanda mateo manda bhagya upadruta. Like all the resume of the Kali Yuga people is provided in it. What is your resume? I'm a Kali Yuga person. I'm lazy, misguided, unfortunate, and always disturbed. These are my qualifications. In that purport, Prabhupada writes a statement: the most congenial form of intimacy is in the relationship of service. Most congenial form of intimacy is in the relationship of servant and served. So faith in someone is an aspect of intimacy with them. So it starts with service. When we serve someone, we develop attachment. It's just the nature of service. Therefore, even for new people, we say, please do some service for Krishna. Of course, we say, oh, you get Agyata Sukruti. But that Sukruti, how is the Sukruti stored? It becomes attraction for Krishna. So through service, attraction develops, faith develops, trust develops. And that service is done when we see their character, how they live their life, how they speak, what is in their heart comes out through their speech. It is said that when we go to a learned person, two things should happen. We should shut up and they should talk. Usually it's the other way around. They're quiet and we... It's a wrong process. We should shut up and they should speak. Because when they speak, that was quoted here, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, that the confidential principles, they come out by our inquiry, our inquisitiveness. Please speak. It will come. Then we have, look at their attraction for their guru and Krishna. I would like to have a little tiny bit, as Vaisheshika Prabhu says, a mustard seed worth of that attraction from them. And that mustard seed worth of attraction will descend only through service to them. Otherwise it will not descend. Even if they say, you have everything, it won't come. It is service by which it descends. So we want those qualities. And it's said that one who serves the spiritual master carefully like this, they begin to think like the spiritual master. Not like, I am the spiritual master, but their thinking is now, if my spiritual master were here, how would he guide me through these things? You hear from Prabhupada disciples, they would say, many times when we are not sure, we would consider, if Prabhupada were here, what would he say or do? And then they refer to all of Prabhupada's activities and speech and say, okay, I have a sense, and then they discuss, this is the right thing to do. That's the mechanism of it. Through service, that faith, that taste, it descends into our heart. And then when we see it, like, wow, it works, then we serve more, and the intimacy, the stronger it becomes, the better the flow is. The stronger the flow, not better, stronger the flow. And when the service attitude, that's why the verse said, bhaktiya, through love and devotion, not just for some materialistic desire, then otherwise it gets blocked. Then I'm just moving my hands and legs and it becomes just the form of it without the substance in it. And one doesn't feel the mercy in my heart to see things that, okay, I'm still serving the guru and somehow still I'm always not able to discern. something about the relationship with the guru needs to be adjusted. Our process is this: wherever is the problem, the fixing is in the fundamentals. Right? Whatever problem I may be having, my fixing, my solution is always in the fundamentals. Am I hearing and chanting properly in my relationship with Guru? You fix that, you strengthen that, or you invest in that, those problems get solved. A fascinating process. Does that address for you? Okay, thank you. Okay. Spasiba. Thank you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. See you all in 4 weeks.